Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter and Ascension sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of one of Todd's Easter and Ascension sermons.
During that tenure, he has stood as an impartial guardian of the law. He's worn the judicial robe with honor and humility.
Justice Stevens was the court's most liberal member. His retirement will, I think, be the occasion of some concern on the left about getting someone as liberal as Justice Stevens.
My service to the people of Michigan have been one of the greatest honors of my life. But it's time to begin a new and exciting chapter.
It really woke me up to the power of prayer, what happened with the twins. Because it really, he really does work.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues, etc.
Seems like we were just here, doesn't it? Well, most of the hours between the end of the program yesterday, that was Thursday, although it feels strangely like Saturday to me for some reason today, most of the hours spent between the end of the show yesterday and the beginning of the show today were spent by the three of us, me, Jeff, and Craig, probably asleep, if I'm not mistaken. And a good night's sleep does a lot for a guy after 24 hours plus awake and 24 hours of Issues, Etc. 24. It's good to be back on the air with regular old Issues, Etc. Just 2 hours a day. Seems like, golly, practically nothing after all of that. We're going to start this Friday afternoon the way we usually do, Issues, Etc. comment line, listener email. In the first hour, we always pick Issues, Etc. blog of the week. And then in the second hour of the program, Pastor Tom Eckstein will join us for the second part of a series we've been doing with him on homosexuality today, how to witness to those involved in homosexuality. Then Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. Because of Issues, Etc. 24, we were a little bit late getting the soundbites up, but they are up and they're there for you to listen to at issuesetc.org, either on the homepage or listen on demand page. You can listen to all four of them. Then get ready to vote in 90 minutes here. We'll start Issues, Etc. soundbite of the week. Your votes will determine the soundbite of the week. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org. is our in-studio email address. You can Twitter us at IssuesETC. And you can also vote for Soundbite of the Week any of those three ways, or you can leave your vote at our Facebook fan page where you'll also find a list of the soundbites, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Let's begin today's show by going to the Issues Etc. comment line.
Hi, this is Jerry Roselip in Deer Lodge, Montana. Issues Etc. is like having many pastors of our own teaching true Christian theology in their own unique style. Todd's ability to formulate and ask very relevant questions brings out the best in the guests on the program and allows the depth of their knowledge to be revealed very effectively. We really enjoy and use the on-demand option since we can only listen live online occasionally. It is great to listen to the podcast and back it up to listen to a great point that was expressed and get the full meaning of the text or subject. Issues, Etc. has allowed us to grow in the knowledge of true Christianity and made a stronger spokesman for our Lutheran heritage. Thanks, Jeff, Todd, and Craig, for a great program.
Well, thank you very much. Always nice to hear from our listeners that we have real tangible the kind of palpable results in their lives as Christians and as confessional Lutherans as we do. That's why we are here. Honestly, that is why we are here. If we just wanted to do radio, I think Jeff would probably be doing sports. I would be sitting at home doing nothing. Craig, he would be, Craig would have a talk show of his own where he would give his opinions on every matter under the sun. It would be a great talk show, by the way, if we were in it just for the radio. And we do it for our listeners. Honestly, truly do it for our listeners and happy to have that kind of benefit in their lives. We got email here, Jeff.
Oh, no. I'm trying to go through the email right now. I'm trying to get the stuff about Issues Etc. 24 out of the way. Let me read a couple of these here.
Sure.
This is Jim from Collinsville. Your 24 hours of Bible study was a brilliant idea, and you all executed very well. Whose idea was it? I hope you get the rest. You deserve. And he says, thanks for putting up with my interruptions.
Well, we're very happy to any kind of interruptions that the crew does bring us are tasty interruptions. And my family actually is enjoying those interruptions at home because so much was over here for Issues Etc. 24 from not only the Crudas, but the Dowells brought over breakfast for us. Some people sent us Dan Berquist sent us a survival pack for Issues Etc. 24 that had a little something to eat in
it.
Yeah,
let's talk about that quickly. That's one of the emails. Let's explain everything in there real quickly.
Okay.
All right, because it makes more sense. He sent – this was called the Issues Etc. 24 survival pack. Control a kid remote. For when you get tired of someone else, you can push the grow up, say please, etc. button. Digital tape for friendly reminders at 4 a.m. How to take over the world. Learn how to make Issues Etc. take over the world from Todd's favorite critters. That was the cat.
The cat one.
Office space kit. A homage to your jobs at KFUO. That's why you sent the office space kit.
Okay, good.
Black stealth RC helicopter for when Jeff or Craig just get plane bored after the fourth hour. Everything else in the box is caffeinated to keep you going. So that explains everything in there because I still didn't understand, you know, all the stuff wasn't making sense to me.
Well, there was something in there called Perky Jerky. I ate the entire package even before the...
Yeah, you ate it the day before.
Yeah, I did. I ate it because I like beef jerky.
On Tuesday.
And it was delicious. It was like marinated in some sort of a exotic fruit or something that had twice the caffeine of coffee beans. And it was just... I gave Craig just a tiny, tiny morsel to eat. That was it.
Hey, from that office space, but yeah, my voice is still messed up, but I guess over the weekend, Monday, I should be better. But from that office space pack, they've got that PC load letter. We're having a printer problem, and it'd be a good idea if we stuck that thing on our printer.
Yeah, if you remember that scene in the movie Office Space, I actually can't repeat it because it has some vulgarities. I have PC load letter right over the top of my flat screen over here. Just as a way of reminding it. Anybody who's ever been in the studio, in my office studio, has seen that I have both the Is This Good for the Company banner and the Jump to Conclusions mat there. But we always need more, and we really appreciate our listeners thinking of us in advance of Issues Etc. 24 and kind of loading us up with all the supplies that we could possibly need.
All right. Let's try to get to some more of this email about Issues Etc. 24. Randy in St. Louis, man, you guys are just plain awesome in this Issues Etc. 24. Okay, not you guys yourselves, but the guests in the high-octane Bible study this past several hours. He says, I do admire Jack Bauer for his 24-hour marathons and always doing what's right, but he only takes down evil terrorists and compromised government officials. You guys and your guests in this Issues Etc. 24 are taking down Satan's strongholds and teaching many to take their... every captive thought to Christ, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 through 5. Thanks for that Christ-centered, cross-focused way of counter the terrorism of our sin and death. Randy concludes, any chance that these 24 hours of Bible study will be made available in a complete CD set for personal and congregational use? After all, not all of us can pull the Jack Bauer-like marathon in 24 successive hours. If you can make such a set of CDs available, I'd certainly have to put that in the budget, and perhaps even before the last set of Jack Bauer DVDs.
Holy smokes.
God bless and keep up the good Christ-centered, forgiveness-focused teaching and broadcasting, writes Randy in St. Louis.
Well, first of all, we are planning, in very short order, to have the 24 hours available for our on-demand listeners, but please bear in mind the kind of the workload that is required to get that done. 24 hours it needs to be edited because it was 24 continuous hours. There are a couple things in there we'd like to fix. We want to make sure it's nice and neat for as our podcasters have come to expect from the Issues Etc. podcast. And I would say this weekend, I won't say before beginning or end of the week, but this weekend we'll start to have those things up for our on-demand listeners. We really want them up there. And as for a 24 CD set, that's something we'll have to seriously consider. It was, to tell you the truth, I mean, I'll be quite honest with you, there are hours in there during Issues Etc. 24 that I honestly don't remember very well.
It's a blur. I mean,
I was in a state of, I mean, I was engaged enough to ask questions and keep the conversation going. But looking back on it, I realize I was not forming long-term memories during about 6 or 7 hours in the middle of the night. I was still conscious, mostly, and I was still able to at least give the impression of being lucid. But I know I was not forming long-term memories because I honestly just don't remember. For instance, I don't think I remember a single moment of my conversation with I think it must have been Bill Weinrich. I remember hearing his voice kind of off in the distance. And I think we talked about the Gospel of John, but I could not tell you a single thing I asked or a thing, single thing he said. My brain was not forming memories at that point. But nonetheless, it was a fantastic interview on the Gospel of John for 2 hours.
I'll tell you what, great Bible teachers. I mean, these guys, you could ask a question.
And they were all wide awake, by the way.
Yeah, and they could go 5-10 minutes, no problem.
Yeah, but,
they
literally
could. And I mean, it was a blessing. It was really a blessing.
Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, as difficult as it was at time to get through the wee hours of the night, it was fantastic. If I had to spend 24 hours with how many guys? With 12 different people, it'd be those people and the two guys on the other side of the glass, which we didn't even talk during 24 hours. We didn't have a chance to. When my mic was open, they were busy doing their thing. And when I was having a break at the top and the bottom of the hour, they were busy doing their thing. We didn't talk to each other.
Would you do anything in preparation, bodily, mental preparation next time around?
I don't know. I tried to sleep enough, but I realized very quickly that you can't pre-sleep one of these kind of things. I don't know. I stayed away from caffeine until about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I think that was probably a good idea. So,
No. You ordered the first one at 11 o'clock at night.
At 11 o'clock?
Yeah, and then I don't think you drank much of it because it was Craig's coffee.
That's right.
Remember? It was 11 o'clock.
A sip or two. That was enough. The flavor of Craig's coffee shocked me back into consciousness. We'll be back with more listener email.
Communication's never been as easy as today. And it would make me happy when you've gone so far away. You send me an email that says I love you.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan, Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska, and Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
You canceled the wrong show. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
The CLCC has produced a new seminar to help people understand the structure of LCMS churches. So many people today are unaware of their church polity. This seminar can be downloaded for free from the CLCC website, www.theclcc.org. This is available for a seminar, a self-study, or presentations. And think about joining us. Members can download the PowerPoint version for free. Visit us today at www.theclcc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Back on the air for just 2 hours a day. We figured 24 hours is a nice thing to try occasionally, but 2 hours will do. It'll keep us satisfied for at least another 6 months or so. Hey, I want to direct you to the Issues Etc. fan page for something special, something very, very special. You'll go there. If you go to the Issues Etc. fan page, it's facebook.com/issuesetc. You're going to see the latest thing posted there. It has the title, Hometown Boy Makes Good. And there's a picture there, a picture actually out of the local paper of our own Jeff Schwarz and his brother, Mike Schwarz.
No, wait a
being second. Declared super fans.
Where did you get that? Was that from Craig? Did you give that to
him?
I
actually scanned that picture while we were starting the show.
You dogs. You dogs. That doesn't belong on there.
I spent the afternoon.
Hey, we don't put your personal stuff on there.
I spent the afternoon.
Oh, man.
Downloading the proper drivers.
I was wondering what you were doing.
So that I could scan it using the machine back there. And then they came through just about the time the show was started.
Oh, that is embarrassing.
And so in a feat.
I never should have brought it in.
In a feat of unbelievable multitasking, I was able to scan the picture, crop it, put it together and get it on our Facebook fan page.
Oh, you guys.
During the first segment of the show.
I can't believe you do that. After spending 24 hours and brotherly camaraderie, you guys go and do that to me?
You can go, and if you click on the picture, you can read the short article about Jeff and his brother being given. And the Superfan plaques that they have actually have a little Superman logo on it, if I'm seeing that carefully enough. And this is something Jeff went through. When was this, Jeff?
It was Monday night.
Monday night, he went out and they honored him locally. As a super fan.
I am the super fan.
So I figured since our listeners to Friday afternoons occasionally get to hear about your antics at Edwardsville basketball games, the least we could do was to provide them with proof that you are indeed at least locally famous.
I cannot believe
your
that
fannery.
Made the paper. You know, it's one of those things where you go and you're thinking, you know, some. It was like the Booster Club president's wife took the picture. The paper didn't come out and take the picture. And then I think my dad must have brought it this morning or something. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can't.
Which paper was
this.
It in?
Edwardsville Intelligencer. It's okay. A daily paper.
Yeah, local boy makes good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's all the things in my life. That's what I want to be remembered for. All right, some email.
Absolutely.
Jeff in Philadelphia writes, he said, I have a quick question based on your recent show on from Calvinism to Lutheranism. I honestly don't understand how the Reform view of limited atonement gives a substantially different basis for assurance than the Lutheran position. The Reform view states that Christ died only for the elect who will be those that persevere. The Lutheran view is that Christ died for everyone and only the elect will be saved. You either limit the effect or you limit the extent. Unless you move to universalism, there isn't a difference in terms of basis for assurance. Am I missing something here, writes Jeff in Philadelphia. Great question.
It's a very, very good question. And yes, there is a difference. The difference is in the scope of the atonement. If Christ only died for some, you are forced to ask the question, am I among the some for whom he died or among the others for whom he shed no blood? You are forced to ask that question. But if you, as the Scripture quite clearly does, believe that the atonement of Christ is universal, that is, Christ died for all, not only all men, but all sin, and that the price he paid there, he paid for all sin, not just the sins of the elect, but all sin, then one is never needs ask the question, am I elect? Does the Bible teach that there are those who are elect? Of course it does. It refers to the elect, although never limits the number. Have you ever noticed that? Never limits the number of the elect. Now, one might say, by using the term elect, you imply that some are not. But the Bible never does. Bible never does imply chosen, elect. This is how God elects. And you are never forced into the position of saying, am I among the elect? Instead, the question is, did Jesus die for me? Now see, the Calvinist, the Reformed position, he may well say, did Jesus die for me? But that is, he says, well, I don't know. Am I among the elect? Because he only died for the elect. And so he's forced to ask, am I among the elect? One can maintain that the Bible teaches there is an elect while maintaining a universal atonement, that Christ died for all and for all sins. And the question is only, did he die for me? And the answer to that question is always yes. Now, the unbeliever, said, did Jesus die for you? The unbeliever will say, no, but he's wrong. He's wrong. The believer, if asked, did Jesus die for you, says yes. The question of whether or not you are among the elect never comes up, because the Bible's teaching of election is never about limiting anything. The Bible's teaching of election, and here's the difference, it's a very good question, is always about assuring you of Christ's death for you. The Bible's teaching of election doesn't point you to God's eternal decree before the foundation of the world, but points you to Christ. And if you want, if you do stumble into the question and happen to ask, perhaps out of ignorance, am I among the elect? The Bible says, well, did Jesus die for you? You see the direction of the questions? The Reformed teaching takes you away from those for whom Christ died, Christ dying for sinners, and forces you back into the question of election. And the biblical view takes you from the uncertainty of election and draws you toward the certainty of Christ's death for all. That's the difference. That's the difference. And believe it or not, Jesus' death for all offers complete and certain assurance. Good question.
Here's a question from Jocelyn. I teach Sunday school to second and third graders. This week, as we read through the story of Thomas, I was struck by John 20, verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. I would very much like your take on exactly what is happening here. Having just come out of Easter, celebrating Christ's forgiveness of all sins, it almost seems like this passage tempers that message a little. Is it really saying that the church body must forgive my sins as well? Great question.
Well, he's not speaking primarily to any church body, but he's speaking to first his disciples, they're the apostles, and thereby to the whole church. What is Christ giving there in John chapter 20? And likewise in Matthew's gospel as well. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. A parallel commission by Christ. He is giving nothing other than the authority, his own divine authority to forgive sins. As the Father sent me, let's put it all in its context. He breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. As the Father sent me, what did the Father send him to do? Effect and forgive, effect the forgiveness of sins and dispense the forgiveness of sins, correct? Yes. As the Father sent me, so I send you with the very same authority to forgive sins. This is not personal authority that I have or anyone else has. This is Christ's authority that he sends us with to forgive sins. Whoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Whoever sins you do not forgive, retain, they are not forgiven. You ask, under what circumstances wouldn't we forgive sins? The answer is when someone is stalwartly unrepentant. That is, someone refuses to see their sin. And therefore, forgiveness must be withheld from them. That is to bind sins. This is called the office of the keys. It has that kind of twofold power to remit or to bind, to forgive or to bind the sins upon them. And it is as serious a matter to bind sins as it is to forgive sins. And when the church, on those occasions that it must, and I say here must, not because the church does this, not because it wants to, but because it's been commanded to, the church must bind sins of the unrepentant. It does so for the sake of, hopefully, working repentance in them. It may ultimately even result in excommunication again, but with the goal of working repentance in them. Yeah, he's given us the authority to forgive sins. Back to the Issues Etc. comment line.
Hi, this is David from Kansas City. I am currently listening to the Issues 24 and am thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying it. Thank you very much. Hey, here's something for you. As T.K. Chesterton replied to the question, what is wrong with the world, with the statement, I would say I concur. And that is why I, a poor, miserable sinner, redeemed by Christ, need issues, etc. It is Christ-centered, cross-focused, for sinners only. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much. It's nice to hear that, and what we're trying to do, and I hope, hopefully we succeed in doing, is remain Christ-centered and cross-focused. golly, it must have been 5-6 years ago that that particular little formula occurred to me. And it occurred to me because I was driving into work one day. This was when we were with our former employer. And I drove past a church near my house that said something like Christ-centered preaching. And I knew full well from having heard what this church preaches that it was not Christ-centered. It was, well, it was Jesus example, Jesus life coach, Jesus this, Jesus that, but not Jesus crucified. Not on a regular basis. And I thought to myself, you know, everyone says that they have Christ-centered preaching or Christ-centered worship, even when they don't. So we need to qualify it or at least make it more particular. And I thought to myself, it may be Christ-centered, but what Christ? Is it the Christ who is crucified? Is it the Christ who is on the cross for me? And I thought Christ-centered, cross-focused. And we do this deliberately. We want our listeners to understand that the message is not just Christ, Christ the whoever, but Christ the crucified and risen Savior, Christ the crucified for you. And I'm glad to hear that our listeners get it. I'm glad to hear that they understand that. I even heard someone recently trying to improve upon it. They said something like Christ-centered, mission-focused, which again, may get you the mission, don't get you the cross. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. The highest price. If you call, I will answer.
If you fall, I'll pick you up. His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 40 days of Easter.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is making it clear abortion's a goal of Mr. Obama's administration. At a meeting of world leaders, she was asked about making maternal health a priority. In her blunt and often direct style, Mrs. Clinton removed any doubt about abortion's role by saying, "You cannot have maternal health without reproductive health." Then she added, "And reproductive health includes contraception and family planning and access to legal abortion." Sadly, the highest levels of government are hijacking the noble idea of lowering maternal death by redefining the process to include abortion. But they're bucking reality. The statistics of several countries that had abortion and now protect their babies clearly show ending abortion notably improves maternal health.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Hello, it's me.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, going through listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line. In a few minutes, more like 20 minutes, we'll be picking Issues Etc. blog of the week. The second hour of the program we're going to spend with Pastor Tom Eckstein of Concordia Lutheran Church in Jamestown, North Dakota, concluding a two-part series with him on homosexuality, how to deal or to witness to those who are involved in homosexuality. Great stuff with him. And then Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We got him up a little bit late today because of Issues Etc. 24, but I encourage you to go to our website, issuesetc.org. You can click and listen to him right there, and then you can, about 4:30 today, a little bit after 4:30, Central Time today, you can call and vote 1-877-623-MY-IE. You can email your votes to us any old time, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter them to us at issuesetc. Also, leave them at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
And when you leave them there, give your city
state. City and state. City and state. your name and where you listen. That's what we usually ask for.
Right, exactly. You know, you talk about Christ Center Cross Focus. One of our listeners, and I just became a fan of Cross Focus Leadership for Missouri. But the Missouri Synod, have you become a fan yet? There's only 24 of us so far. It's leadership.
What is it?
It's Cross Focus Leadership for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Oh, wait a minute. I know this thing.
There's only 24 fans, so I think all our listeners, if you want Cross Focus Leadership, Christ Center Cross Focus Leadership for Missouri, go to that, it's type facebook.com and type in Cross Focus Leadership for Missouri and become a fan.
That's a great idea. Am I a fan?
I don't think so.
There we go. I found it. Just put in cross and then a dash and it'll fill it out for you. Well, right now, clickety click. I'm a fan.
Bada bing.
There you go.
Bada bing.
All right.
All right. Here's Beth in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Over the last 15 years or so, I've noticed that at some funerals, I hear less about the resurrection of the dead, and unless one belongs to a confessing church, one may never even mention the resurrection of the dead in a church service. I have been blessed to be part of the beginnings of faith in Christ and a new Christian, and the single thing that is causing confusion is an understanding of the ultimate resurrection of the dead. One hears resurrection and immediately thinks of Christ's resurrection, which is great, but there's more. So although with Christ's resurrection we may not need to know much about those who were raised, we mustn't forget our own and that of those who are asleep. Like Job says, "And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." I hope I haven't rambled too much. You guys are great. God's blessings in Christ. He's risen, writes Beth in Cape Girardeau, Missouri.
Well, Beth, thank you. Hardly rambling. That was actually rather succinct. Thank you very much for the email. You're right. There has been, I think, in Pop American Christianity, it's bled over into many denominations, a failure to understand the import of Christ's resurrection. Christ's resurrection is the first. Let's remember that Christ's resurrection is the first of many, of a general resurrection that will take place when he returns. He will raise all the dead, even as he has been raised from the dead. He raised Lazarus, but Lazarus simply had his old life given back to him. In effect, Jesus reversed death there. He didn't destroy it yet. He reversed it and gave Lazarus just the same old life back. And Lazarus lived on and then grew sick and died. And everyone else that Jesus raised from the dead in the course of his ministry, same old thing, same old life. They lived on, they grew sick, and then they ultimately died. Jesus' resurrection is not just a revival or giving someone their old life back. It is resurrection. It is new life. It is the life that Jesus possesses from before the foundation of the world that cannot be destroyed by death. And when he is raised from the dead, he's raised imperishable, even according to his human nature, imperishable. And this signals the first of many, so that, yes, you're right, Beth, Christ has been raised. That is our hope and our security. It is not just a hope grounded in the past. It's a hope that points us toward the future, toward our resurrection. And the Bible very seldom gives any, I don't think it ever gives anyone comfort in the fact that their dead relatives are off with God someplace. It always pushes forward to the resurrection, to the full restoration of all things, when Christ will raise us from the dead. And sadly, I think Dr. Jeff Gibbs, a regular guest on this program, has noted that a lot of Easter hymns get you in the grave and then with Jesus in spirit, but don't push it as far as the Bible does, to the full resurrection of all. So you're right to be looking for that. And when you don't hear it, you're right to ask that those who are preaching and teaching go back and re-educate themselves on the full import of Christ's resurrection.
Dave in West Virginia, the church giving away cars was giving tangible evidence of the gospel. Let's see, a car must be insured, incur taxes, wears out in part, needs repairs, and ultimately wears out entirely. By that time, it is obsolete anyway. It is never appropriate to give something tangible which passes away as an affirmation of something which does not pass away. It merely creates faith in that which deteriorates. How about the tangibility of the earthly elements of the sacraments? Alas, ultimately, if we choose to accept the sacraments as mere symbols, no matter how important that symbolism is, we are still counting on the intangible as the confirmation of the very tangibility of the bodily resurrection to eternal life. We are left with something woefully inadequate, writes Dave in West Virginia, smartest listeners in radio, period.
Yeah, no two ways about it. Hands down, smartest listeners. And you're right. That's why we confess along with Christ and his institution that what we receive is not mere bread and wine, which indeed are, while tangible, are passing away. But according to the institution, with that bread and wine, we receive something that never passes away. It's an indestructible life. It is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the real body and blood of Jesus Christ with the bread and the wine, and it is indestructible. It isn't a token of something we wait to receive. It is the thing itself, already receiving it here in time before the resurrection. It's the resurrection before the resurrection. Very good.
Jack writes, I was curious as to how difficult it would be to paste together a common statement many of your guests make to Todd. That statement is, that's a good question. Todd is very modest about his contribution as the show's host. However, the people that he interviews and his listeners know better. And Jack concludes, New Jersey truck drivers listen to Issues Etc. too. Before Todd answers that, if you call our comment, I'd like as many truck drivers as possible.
Right. We love truck drivers. From.
We love truck drivers. And to say, Jack, if you call back, say, New Jersey truck drivers, we love Issues Etc. and blast that horn. If we can get as many of those as possible,
on
I'd
the
really
comment
appreciate
line.
It.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But well, we've got two. Here's the problem. We put together our open montage every week or so, and we've got two great ones. A Southern Illinois truck driver and I believe a Florida truck driver, both who called the comment line and you know.
And the Florida one just said it was a great one. Thanks for providing theology for white collar, blue collar, clerical collar.
And then they blow their horn.
But just think we get as many states as possible.
Yeah,
That'd be awesome.
I would like to hear from the various truck drivers in various states blowing their horns at the end. It's a great thing to go at the end of the montage. It leads nicely into the rest of the bump music and sounds nice, and plus we'd like to hear from the truck drivers.
What about the, that's a great question, Todd, comment. Do you want to say anything about
okay.
it?
Okay, well, first of all, some of those questions actually come from Jeff. I mean, this is...
Not the good ones.
No, some of the good ones come from you, too. But it's funny, whenever, when we get one of those, and we don't expect to hear it, Jeff will often give me the little thumbs up signal. All I'm doing is asking questions that occur to me. That's all I'm doing. So, I mean, if they're good questions, they're good questions. One thing I do know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and this is what makes Issues Etc. what it is, the answers are great, even if the questions aren't any good. And believe me, if you listen carefully, you will hear a lot of guests very politely tell me that they have no idea what I'm asking. And then they give me a good answer anyway. So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
By the way, Jack, our New Jersey truck driver friend, 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. That's the Issues Etc. comment line. And
if he's listening on demand and he hears this, you know, 2 months from now and he's in his truck going wherever, just call right there. Leave it because the comment line never shuts down.
Martha writes, I just wanted to say thank you for mentioning the composers when you do hymn segments. I'm looking forward to listening to the 24 program on demand. Great idea, writes Martha.
There's a hymn study in that the hour leading up to? What did we do?
No, that was the day before.
The day before.
Awake My Heart with Gladness.
Awake My Heart with Gladness.
And we did ask, and I was scared because I didn't tip. I've always just told them do a little bio on the author. That was my fault. And then somebody, and I believe it might have been Martha, suggested that we talk about the person who wrote the tune. And you asked Fakencher, both of them. I'm like, I'm out here. Ask Craig. I was like, oh, no.
And he's shaking his head. Wilkin
no,
asked another
yes,
stupid question.
Yeah. And sure enough, Dr. Fakencher knew about the
hey,
composer. And
he came through.
Exactly,
he did good.
Exactly. Exactly. This is an email from Luis in Wisconsin. Thanks for the segment with Wendy Wright on the situation here in Wisconsin. The Juneau County District Attorney is a brave man. The new law mandates all districts use the state curriculum only. Individual districts no longer have a choice at all in what they offer, and an absence curriculum isn't an option at all. This has to do with that Juneau County. You can tell the story.
Yeah, there's and this is happening in Wisconsin. There's a law. Technically, in the law, there are things that it's illegal for certain children under a certain age to do. And for a teacher to encourage such behavior through sex ed, the attorney has said, look, you can't do this. And the teachers are saying, yeah, but we have to. It's in the curriculum. And it's a good question. Does it belong in the curriculum in the first place? And, of course, the story was made all the more notable by the fact that the teachers involved in this are spouting off about how they believe abstinence education isn't effective. They obviously don't pay any attention to the research. I mean, they should, because they're teachers, and if they're teaching sex ed, then they're sex educators. They should at least know what's effective in sex ed and what isn't. Go back, like good teachers, and do their homework. Stay tuned.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
If you're a pastor or layperson in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we have some timely resources for you. The leadership of the LCMS is proposing sweeping changes in structure and governance. These changes would further centralize power in the church's bureaucracy and decrease the voice of LCMS congregations and laity. You'll find show transcripts about these proposed changes and an updated list of questions for President Gerald Kishnick's task force. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
We're not funded by LCMS, Inc. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you. Welcome back to Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, April the 16th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Speaking of that Issues Etc. comment line, people can call that obviously 24/7. But you know, we tried to get as many we could before Issues Etc. 24. But anytime, you know, we know our on-demand listeners are days, weeks, months behind. Call that comment line and let us know, why do you listen to Issues Etc. 618-223-8384, 618-223-8384. Here's an email from Pat. She says, "I'm enjoying your Sunday school study today about the risen Christ and the fishermen." Pat, I apologize if you're a man. "I'm reminded," isn't one of that like a Saturday Night Live show? It's Pat, or...
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Don't bring that image yet.
I'm sorry. Yeah, exactly. Pat, I'm sorry. It has nothing to do with you, I'm sure. "I'm enjoying your Sunday school study today about the risen Christ and the fishermen. I'm quite embarrassed. This is me talking right now. I'm reminded of when we first got a copy of the Living Bible, Remember the green one?
With the super cushy cover. It was
what
like
was the one with the black and white like newspaper headline?
Good News for Modern Man.
Yeah. Dude, yeah. Been there, done that one too, have you? Okay, let's start over. Pat writes, can we edit all this out for our podcast listeners?
This hour does not get edited.
Next week we're going to get an anonymous tap on the door and it's going to be Pat.
I'm going to answer it.
And
he wanders away from it, and everything's okay, and then he walks right back.
This is Pat. Is Jeff here? And I'm like, yeah, he's right there behind the board. There he is. No point to Craig. All right. I promise, third time's a charm. Pat writes, I am enjoying your Sunday school study today about the risen Christ and the fishermen. I am reminded of when we first got a copy of the Living Bible and followed along in church the next week as the pastor's sermon was based on the great love shown by Christ as he called the disciples my little children. How the sermon was blown by our translation as it said, hey guys, catch any fish? We didn't use the Living Bible very long, writes Pat.
You know, there was a time, I remember when the Living Bible came out, and it's kind of like the Message today. If anybody knows what the Message is, the Eugene Peterson, they call it a translation. It's not a translation. It's a paraphrase. And nothing against some other stuff that Eugene Peterson has written, but the Message, I mean, come on, when the publisher tells you you need to come out with your own version of the Bible, you might just say, I think I'd leave that to the more qualified. So anyway, if you're familiar with the Message, it's this kind of loose paraphrase of the Bible. That's what the Living Bible was back in the, I mean, it has to be the 70s. I remember it came out as a kind of a deep green thing with a really cushy, pillowy, kind of soft cover, very indicative of what you might find inside. It was put together as something that's supposed to be relevant. It was the first attempt to make the Bible relevant. And in 2,000 years, the first attempt to try and make the Bible relevant. And what it was such a loose paraphrase as to at times be almost silly. It was trying to put the Bible into modern English. Of course, since English is a living language and ever changes, it was immediately dated. The very day it was published, it was obsolete in terms of its relevancy for at least kind of modern use. And there have been other attempts, like the Good News for Modern Man was aimed at youth, had those line drawings in them. Some of them were actually elegant line drawings, but attempts to make it sound folksy. And the problem with it is that people were under the mistaken notion that the Living Bible was actually a translation and rather than a paraphrase. And since the Bible is, we believe in verbal inspiration, not just idea inspiration, verbal inspiration, we believe that the very words of the original manuscripts are inspired. So translation is always the order of the day when it comes to the Bible rather than paraphrase. Paraphrase is good for sermons, for pastoral counseling, but if you want to do something that you sit down, you study the text, the paraphrase will never do, be it the Living Bible, Good News for Modern Man, or the Message.
Jeff and Craig. This is Will from Macomb, Michigan, and the reason I listen is that your show has just been so informative and such a great education for me. I went to school from in elementary school, high school, college. I always went to LCMS schools, and I can easily say that I've learned as much about the faith from listening to you guys the last couple of years as I have in all those years of education. Keep up the great work, guys, and thanks very much. Bye.
Thank you very much. And what do we say in our line? Equipping the priesthood of all believers, trying our very hardest to do that on a regular basis.
Hey, Todd, I was just going to share with Pat, who wrote that email a bit before, facebook.com/issuesetc. If you want to know what Jeff looks like before you come to the office, click on the Local Boy Makes Good article.
Yeah, you'll see. He's the scrawny one in the middle. Yeah.
You know, it's bad enough you guys post the thing, but you had to title it, Wilkin, Local Boy Makes Good. Okay? I mean, that's...
Hometown Boy Makes
Good. Hometown Boy.
What's wrong with that?
Come on. It makes me sound like I'm like, what? Come on. That's like the person
Opie.
That like gives the Heimlich maneuver. You know, it's somebody at a fish fry or something. You know? I mean, come on. Or you know, saves a dog in the ice or something.
I got to read, but I want to read this. I want to read this. And you tell me this if this doesn't just ooze hometown. The Edwardsville High School Tiger Pride basketball boosters honored Jeff and Mike Schwarz, and you get to see what Jeff's brother looks like there if you'd like to. They're both apparently madmen when it comes to Edwardsville Tiger basketball.
He played. He was actually pretty good. I sat the bench for the Tigers.
But. With a lifetime Booster Club membership. Lifetime, Jeff. That's good for the rest of your life, you know. At its annual Basketball Monday, you need to wear that in about big gold chain. Affix your plaque around your neck so that whenever any of those visiting team fans give you a hard time, you hold up your plaque and you say, I got a lifetime membership in the Booster Club around here.
No, here's what
and
I was thinking.
They'll leave you alone.
What I want to do is I want to go to Saddleback Community Church and present that to Rick Warren and ask that that counts as eternal rewards. I mean, will I have greater glory in heaven with this lifetime membership in the Arizona Tiger Basketball Booster Club? I wonder what Pastor Warren would say. You think he wouldn't say no, would he?
He couldn't deny your rewards. No. It's definitely rewards. It's great. I just love it. I mean,
Did you read the quote?
Let's see.
What the guy said about me?
The one for many years?
Yeah, you
wrote For many years, the Schwarz brothers have brought a passion to Tiger basketball.
For Tiger basketball.
Wait,
you want to start over like I did with Pat?
Have brought a passion for Tiger basketball to Luco Jackson Gym that is as much a part of the Edwardsville basketball tradition as the Four Corners offense, which Craig, by the way, considers to be illegal and cheating. But I think it's true. I mean, what do you have in Edwardsville basketball? You got Four Corners and you got the Schwarz brothers. Four Corners, two brothers. That makes Edwardsville basketball all the better.